So I'm Rob Ritchie, and in the absence of Jay LaPro, our group, the Flux Research Group that he started, is continuing on in the vision that we shared with him for Genie and other projects, and I'm sort of taking over leading our Genie project. So Chip and Aaron both called out as one of the challenges that we need to, we want to see a, we haven't seen a control framework that can do, that can do Genie, right? Well, you want to see one? assuming my network is working here, find out. I got a wire. okay, wow, those colors are awful. I hope this is visible. Oh dear. Better. All right, let's go ahead and view this version. It should show up better. Okay, so I can go to, right now, I can go to protogenie.net. Protogenie is the name of our control framework / genie prototype. And I can create a slice. Now, the reason I can do this is that I've been issued an identity already by Protogenie. This dialog box here is asking me to select which certificate I want to use to identify myself, so there we go. Now, as we see stuff going by here, my client here is going out and is acquiring a credential, and is creating a slice. This whole thing is based on a system of signed credentials, certificates that can be used to prove authentication, and you can see all this junk scrolling by in the bottom. This is the XML RPC output of what's actually going on as my slice gets created. So what's going to happen here is that in this, since this is a demo, right, this is going to look up and see that my slice already exists. It's going to delete the old one, blow it away, and it's going to make a new one. And while I've got a particular interface that I'm using here, right, this XML RPC that you're seeing is all, this is programmable. We've got scripts to do this stuff instead, but they're not as pretty to show. So this should, this will take me a minute here, but it should get finished up. And taking longer than usual. Here we go. So this is connecting to our clearinghouse, which is currently running at Utah. That clearinghouse includes registries as well as a slice authority, and it's that slice authority that I'm creating my slice with. And when this comes up. I guess while we're waiting for it, there we go. No need to wait. So at this point, it's asking for my certificate again because this client is going out and it is asking two aggregate component managers that are already running for our specs describing their list of resources. So let me take a look here at the Protogenie component manager. This is a component manager that is running at Utah and has several components in it. There are two particular kinds of components that I want to show you. These nodes here, these EPCs, so when I'm dragging them out here, I'm adding them to my slice. These EPCs are PCs at edge sites. So we've got numbers 5 and 6 are deployed in our machine room at the University of Utah. Number 9 is at University of Wisconsin-Madison, and number 11 is at Georgia Tech. So we're in the process of bringing up these edge PCs at various sites. These things are, some of them are shared using the Planet Lab virtualization software. Some of them are exclusive access so that experimenters get complete control over the networking stack that they don't get in existing virtualization. So let's see. We also have some sort of regular PCs. These things are not shared. I can click and drag to make VLANs between them. And when I click on Create Slivers here, asked for my certificate too many times. This is now going out and talking to our to the Protogenie aggregate manager. We can sort of see XML scrolling by in the background here. The client produces a request RSpec that describes the resources it wants and receives a ticket back that basically promises that it can use those resources right away. And when the sort of these nodes are sort of grayed out, when it works, hopefully, they will turn green to indicate that I've actually got slices on those components. This is all based on, we have simple prototype implementations of RSpecs and credentials and several other pieces of the Genie architecture. This is all going through API calls that look very much like the ones that are spelled out in the architecture documents that are out there. So let me show you while we're waiting for these to come up. The other component manager that we have running right now is Emulab itself is running a component manager, so you can request any Emulab resource through the Genie APIs. You can request, say, PCs, and I can connect them with VLANs. Another thing that I can also do is I can connect two components that are on different aggregate managers. And right now, this is implemented using IP and IP tunnels. We're working on doing this with VLANs and other technology. But we have the basic framework of being able to create links across component managers is there. Another thing that you'll see in this list, if I scroll down here, is you'll see a whole bunch of nodes with PLAB names. So Larry mentioned the Emulab portal to Planet Lab. Well, because Emulab is exporting all of its everything it can create via the Protogenie APIs, I can in fact get slices on Planet Lab nodes using Genie APIs right now with this. So there we go. The other one's turned green. So I have my slice on that first set of components. And if I click Create Slivers here, they're all going to go gray again because now I'm updating my slice, right? I dragged some new components out, and this interface is now going back and updating my existing slice. And this will take a minute or two. I should probably actually get to my slides, so we won't wait for it. When these come up and turn green, what this means is that I have a slice. That slice is not necessarily booted, so that I can do sort of pre-experiment configuration on it. If I had to click this boot slivers down here, then that would actually bring them up. Oh, half of them have come up. That would actually cause them to boot into a state, and I have some simple, I have SSH access on whatever to them. Okay. So, back to the slides. What are the pieces of this thing I just showed you? Well, basically, there are four pieces to it. It is a control framework. We are also going to be building with Internet 2 a national backbone. We have a diverse set of components that are already accessible through this thing, and there are going to be more as part of our work for Spiral 1. And then there's the projects that we're integrating with in Spiral 1. So as control framework pieces, we have a clearinghouse. That along with that clearinghouse comes a security model of basically, how do you authenticate, how do you talk about trust, and we have a simple version of that implemented now. We have aggregate component managers. As I mentioned, we have two running already. So we've shown that we can do multiple aggregates with one clearinghouse. We don't have any formal O&M interfaces, but since we're running this thing, right, obviously we're growing some operations and management interfaces. And data structures and wire formats for things like RSpec, for things like representing credentials. And the interface that I'm showing you doesn't show you everything in our RSpec. So our RSpec already contains a lot of information about how those components are connected to each other on the network that wasn't shown in the interface. Oops, let's see. Oh, shoot, some of them failed. Oh, well, must be a real demo, right? So we're building this primarily on top of the Emulab software for doing the component link management, for doing resource allocation, and for managing users and that kind of stuff. An important piece of this, though, is that we're also, as I mentioned, using the Planet Lab software for slicing PCs. And we hope, before too long, to be using the Vini software for slicing PCs to get some better network virtualization than what we get right now. Because we're building this on Emulab, this means that any site that is currently running the Emulab software, of which there are about two dozen, and controlling in total a few thousand nodes, can, with only modest work, connect into our Genie framework. And I'm sure we won't convince all of them, but I'm hoping we convince some of them to join our clearinghouse. We have there are some across the country as well as across the world. In addition to North America, we have some in Europe, Asia, and South America. So the backbone that we're building with Internet 2. So Internet 2 has a wave infrastructure that stretches across the whole country. We are going to be deploying backbone nodes in a number of Internet 2 POPs. This might not be the exact set, but the final one will look something like this. And these backbone nodes will look something like this. So Internet 2's wave system is the system that allows them to split out optical fibers by wavelengths of light. The Internet 2 production network, like their IP network and their dynamic circuit network, also runs on top of this infrastructure. And the Protogenie backbone nodes that we're going to be installing will have an Ethernet switch that is under Protogenie's control so that we can make VLANs across this whole thing. There'll be a few PCs. The plan is that one of them will, like I said earlier, one of them will be sliced with existing technology. That will be exclusive access so that people can do more sort of disruptive, radical kinds of experiments than you can currently do with the slicing technology that we have. These things will have NetFPGA cards from Stanford in them to do programmable hardware type designs. And we're going to have some spare ports on these Ethernet switches. So other projects that have a desire to share this 10 gigs of dedicated bandwidth should come talk to me. Components, briefly, this isn't a whole list. The backbone of this is going to be built on HP switches. We're going to have these programmable nodes both in the backbones and as well as at edge sites. The nodes in the backbones, as well as some of the edge sites, are also going to have FPGA cards in them. We currently have a wireless building scale testbed, University of Utah, where we've scattered 802.11 nodes all throughout our building, and we're constantly expanding this thing. So you can already, and we'll be able to do more as far as getting 802.11 nodes through this. Software radio. We currently have a deployment of USRP nodes, which is the GNU Radio Project's sort of preferred software radio platform, and we're going to be shortly deploying several dozen of the brand new USRP2 nodes in our building. Programmable clusters, right? So things like you would expect out of Emulab, where you have a bunch of machines in racks that you can sort of configure in arbitrary ways. And this is the NetFPGA. This is the wireless emulator that Peter Sintiski will be talking about from Carnegie Mellon, that gives you the ability to do sort of controlled, repeatable experiments at low level wireless stuff. The products we're integrating with. Here's the architecture diagram. I won't make you squint at it. You can come look at my poster tomorrow. Our main partners on this are Internet 2 for the backbone and hosting space for that nationwide backbone, and HP, which is providing the switches and also is going to host a programmable edge cluster. The other projects in our cluster, University of Kentucky has some instrumentation tools for viewing and displaying the status of a slice and what's going on in it. We're also working with Wisconsin on their measurement system to integrate that for storing and providing access to and anonymizing network measurements. Working with Georgia Tech to do virtual tunnels and BGP and their BGP multiplexer, which will allow researchers to share BGP feeds and do things like publish BGP prefixes to get traffic into this end-user opt-in traffic into this backbone. At Carnegie Mellon, the wireless emulator that I mentioned, they also have HomeNet, which is a project they're working on deploying, which is residential broadband as well as an urban wireless mesh network. And finally, though they're not part of our cluster, we're working closely with Sparta on security architecture issues of our Protogenie. Okay, so where we are now, where we plan to be in 6 to 12 months, well, I just sort of showed you a bit of where we are now, right? We have a running clearinghouse. It does a lot, but not quite all of the things that are in the Genie documents. So we're going to be, we're going to be adding more to that. We currently have two aggregate managers running. The partner sites in our clusters have agreed to start running the Protogenie software there. So we are going to have at least half a dozen aggregate managers within the next 6 to 12 months. And this is going to be the primary way that that those sites sort of connect into Protogenie. Right now, we already have exclusive and shared components. By working with the Vini guys, we hope to have better slicing on the shared components. Within this time frame, we're going to have the first sites of our backbone deployed. EmuLab has for several years been all about creating VLANs across interesting switch topologies. Well, once we get these switches installed in the backbone, we have VLANs across the country for free. We have a few edge sites right now. I mentioned Georgia Tech and Wisconsin. We're going to have more in 6 to 12 months. And right now we have tunnels on exclusive components. We're going to have tunnels on shared components soon, as well as VLANs on those shared components. EmuLab has an embedding service. We are actually pretty close to having that embedding service reading the simple RSpec format that we have, so that it will be an embedding service for Protogenie. We have some basic data structures for RSpec and credentials and those kinds of things, and we are going to be expanding those. All this stuff is online at protogenie.net, including the specifications for our data structures. Our mailing lists are open. We have a bunch of mailing list archives and that kind of stuff where we document our progress and our design decisions. And so there we go. And if you have any questions, I'm happy to take them. Yeah. Right. So. Okay, yeah, so he asked what we're going to focus on in the extended RSpec that we're not focusing on right now. The RSpec that we have right now describes at a fairly low level components, the links between them, network infrastructure like switches, these kinds of things, right? I think that we need to work a little bit more on the constraints between these things. I think we need to work some more on... on probably putting, I don't know if this will be in the RSpec directly, but something about policy, right? So that when you go and ask us for a set of resources, you have some idea which ones of those you might actually be allowed to use. At this point, our tickets, which are based on RSpecs, you can have these resources right now, so we need to work on promises in the future for definite periods of time, those kinds of things. Our RSpec, our general approach is to keep it at a pretty low level where it describes, just the hardware, right? Just the basic facts, and let people figure out from that hardware description what they can do on top of it. So,
All right. The man between us and lunch is John Rafalski.
I have to tease John because he's an old friend.
By the way, I noticed we have two drives.